The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, June 3rd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Well, happy Monday. It's also happy June. Yes, it is the month of June. Summer is officially here. I know technically it's not according to the calendar, but I mean, when you get to the end of May and into June, it's basically summertime. And if you step outside today here in Auburn, Alabama, you are going to feel it. Uncle T-Bone sitting across from me in the studio, your favorite uncle. What's up, man? Happy Monday. How was your weekend?
Great weekend. Happy Monday to you, Jacob, and to everybody out there listening in ESPN 106.7 or streaming with us at Radio Alabama. Glad to be back in studio. Finally kind of getting back into our groove with a little normalcy since the lightning strike. I think we should start calling it BL and AL, before lightning and after lightning, right?
So I like it.
We're back on the airwaves, still searching for those phones, but we're getting closer and closer every day. But, Jacob, you've got some big news on the phone front for us.
I do, yeah, as we are actively working on getting phones put in here. The system is put in. We're just waiting to get the physical phone itself. And so while we are not able to...
I guess you got to go down to an antique store to get one of those.
I'm telling you, you got to the old Radio Shack and see if you can get a phone from down there. We are currently working on that again.
Can we get a cordless one this go around?
I like it, man. Terry Harper, if you're out there, you heard that. No, those guys have been working like crazy. They were here again this weekend working on things, so shout out to them. While we cannot take actual phone calls right now, I am excited to announce that over the weekend, I set up, for us particularly, for On the Line from 2 to 4, we have a text box now. We have a texting line that you can text, phone number. Can't call it, but you can text it. You can send it in, your thoughts, opinions, and everything that you would normally do over the phone. If you're not somebody that likes to call in and talk on the air, shoot me a text. Other shows do it. We finally got behind the eight ball. We're on it now, and we've got a text box, a texting line that you can get through and tell us your thoughts, your opinions, your questions as well. We'll do our best to implement those into the show. And so you've already memorized the phone number for this station by now, 334-321-1390. There's another number you got to memorize, but that's okay. Write it down, bookmark it, put it in your contacts, whatever you got to do. The On the Line text box is 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067. It flows. It sounds good. It's got literally ESPN 106.7 at the end of it. Shout out Ben Taylor for helping me with that. So 334-784-1067 is the number. You can text that. We'll get it here. We'll talk about it, your comments, questions, and concerns. So be sure you do that all show long. We got a lot to talk about today as we are 89 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2024 season. Auburn had a big time recruiting weekend here on the plains this weekend, Uncle T-Bone. It was highlighted by a lot of big players, but none bigger than the five-star wide receiver out of Mississippi, a guy we talked about on Friday, Caleb Cunningham. No commits over the weekend, but he did put Auburn in the lead for one of the best receivers in the entire country.
Well, this staff continues to prove that it's going to, if it does nothing else, recruit at the highest level. The amount of talent that they have recruited since day one at being in Auburn and continue till today and probably till their end of time that they're here on the plains is remarkable. It's very refreshing to see, you know, on campus, five-star, number two player in the state of Georgia, you know, number one player in the state of Alabama, number two overall cornerback in the country, and those types of accolades. And quite frankly, I mean, they get it. You're not going to get them all. But if you're not even out there actively recruiting, you're not going to get any of them. If you don't have the talent, you don't have the horses, you don't have the players, you don't stand a chance. And Auburn and Hugh Freeze and this staff knows the importance of it. I love seeing Cunningham's comments. I love seeing that Naheem Alford, the number one player in the state of Alabama this year, maybe number two cornerback in the entire country, who's currently committed to Ohio State out of Birmingham, Parker High, is saying very, very nice things about Auburn since his visit this weekend, and Auburn is clearly in play with him. And you know, it's just very refreshing after not just this last staff, but really late in the Malzahn years, where it just didn't seem like Auburn, it seemed like Auburn was always on the outside looking in at trying to recruit top talent, that the Georgias, Alabamas, LSUs, and Ohio States of the world and Clemsons of the world are doing so. And that's why they're always in the playoffs, folks. It's pretty simple. If you don't have the players, you don't have a chance. But I want to warn everybody, I'm excited as everybody, but I'm just not going to bite. I'm not just going to say it's all the hay's in the barn, Jacob.
I don't believe it. I think
top five recruiting class, here we come.
I think you'll give in.
But in today's recruiting world especially, not only until the player is signed, but I see them on a practice roster starting the summer, I'm not going to believe it until I see it fact.
Which is a safe way to play right now. And, you know, surely coaches are doing the same thing, right? Surely if you're Hugh Freeze and these other coaches out on the recruiting trail, just because, right, just because a guy like Caleb Cunningham comes out of his official visit and says, yeah, Auburn's in the lead, what does that really mean, Uncle Tebow? What does that mean? I mean, not that their word isn't good, but in recruiting more now than ever, their word doesn't mean a whole lot, and even the commitment word doesn't mean a whole lot until, yeah, there's a signature on the paper and they've got the helmet on the practice field or on the actual field, right? And Auburn is trying to kind of change that, and maybe, you know, we've talked about a lot how teams are having to figure out new ways to gain an advantage, right? What separates you from other teams and other programs across college football? Well, maybe if you're Auburn, maybe you can find a way, almost like Dabo Swinney did, when if you commit to Clemson, you stay committed, you don't flip, you don't go visit other programs, things like that. Maybe that's what Auburn has to do here. It's like, look, if you want to be here, then be here. But we don't have time to deal with whether you want to flip-flop and go Christmas shopping, tree shopping around and see what else is out there on the other shelves. Like, if you're going to come here, you need to be here. And maybe it's not even like a you're here or you're not, but maybe Auburn just somehow can set a standard of when you commit to Auburn, you don't want to decommit from Auburn. You don't want to go look other places. I don't know how you set that. I don't know how you get to that type of a program, but maybe Auburn can do that. And maybe that's what it's going to take for any program to separate itself in recruiting, because like you said, it's a scary time because their word just isn't worth a whole lot because of all the flipping and moving around that we see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are still players out there that their word does matter. I just don't want to lump everybody into it, but I get it. I see what you're saying. You know, whatever Dabo Swinney is claiming he's doing, which sometimes I have to wonder if a lot of what he's saying is just coach speak and him grandstanding, but behind the scenes, they're playing the game just like everybody else. I mean, come on, Dabo.
I mean, he doesn't believe in the portal. He says, if you're in the portal, you're not good enough for us.
Keep not believing in it, and you'll be searching for a job here sooner than later when everyone else is believing in it. But whatever he's doing, they got the number 7 recruiting class in the country right now with 11 commits heading into 2025 on Rivals. So, look, I think you got to win big consistently. You cannot leave any stone unturned in what you can do for these players. You have to constantly recruit them, not only heading into their senior year, but heading into their sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get on these kids early. You have to develop relationships. You have to have NIL. You have to talk to them honestly about transferring in and out in your program. We would prefer this, but we understand, you know, you've got to be straight up with them, because people, they're finding out at Florida, they weren't exactly straight up with a big-time recruit, and he's suing them now. So you can't mess around or the word's going to get out that you're not – you know, I would imagine over time that also, no matter what Dabo Swinney says, he's developed a pretty good relationship.
Sure.
More of a reputation of what he says he's going to do, he does, or players wouldn't be going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to put, but you know, you got to be willing to be flexible. You've got to recruit not only mama, but all the entire extended family. And when somebody commits to you, you got to stay on them, and you got to also recruit your current roster 24/7, 365 as well. So it's a new era. One thing that I noticed, a lot of, though, with Hugh Freeze so far is that when players commit, like last year, they pretty much stuck in there. Perry mm-hmm. Thompson and DeMarcus Riddick, both big-time additions to Auburn. DeMarcus Riddick, the number one linebacker in the state, and Perry Thompson, you know, if he's not the number one receiver, he's 1A, 1B, or 1C with Cam Coleman and Ryan Williams. I think you could throw them all in there. And those kids were put – there was so much pressure put on them by Alabama to flip. Even after they signed,
yeah,
Alabama media was – or certain folks in the media were floating rumors that Perry Thompson wanted out of his – out of, you know, just trying to put pressure on these kids. So there's a ton of pressure on them, and you just got to be straight up with them. And I think that Hugh Freeze and this staff does a good job of that.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points right there. And with the class last year, Auburn, yeah, they lost a couple that they knew they were in on but weren't 100%. But a lot of those big names were committed and stayed committed and then eventually signed. And again, I'm just – and it's not even just today. I'm looking over the next few years of how does a program separate itself? How do you become the next Nick Saban in Alabama? Because what they did was just dominate, and they just started winning championships, guaranteed development, playing time, and eventually get you to the NFL. But – guess what? That's not a separator anymore, and you have to find a new advantage where the playing field is being leveled more and more each and every day. And so looking at it from the Auburn perspective, of course, that's what we want. We want Auburn to be the best that there is. How do you get that advantage? And again, I don't know. We're still looking for that. But on top of Caleb Cunningham this past weekend, again, one of the best receivers in the country. He's out of the state of Mississippi. Ole Miss and State are all over him. So is Alabama and Florida. So it will not be an easy battle. But he says Auburn is in the lead after this weekend. Some more guys that were on campus this weekend. Elijah Melendez, the linebacker committed to Miami, who has been committed to Miami for a little bit. I know Michigan was in there as well, but he's got a really good connection with DJ Durkin from the past, and Auburn has been all over him. He's supposed to be back for Big Cat Weekend, but we'll see how that goes. You mentioned Naeem Offord earlier, Uncle T-Bone, a guy that's an Ohio State kid, but really, really likes Auburn, and Auburn has not backed off of that, and that's something that we have talked about for the entire Hugh Freeze era, it's been short, but they're not afraid to go and recruit kids that are committed somewhere else. I don't care that you're committed to Alabama. I don't care that you're committed to Ohio State. Doesn't matter to me. You're not signed yet, are you? No? Okay, cool. Well, why don't you come see what we have going on down here, and let's try to get that. And maybe that's what you have to prevent, too, is, I mean, just make them such a good offer that they don't want to hear. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. But
well, I think it's almost impossible to keep committed kids to your program from visiting other schools because, quite frankly, I'm convinced that all schools are paying kids to come on official visits now. Okay, so if I'm Joe Blow and I'm Mr. Four-Star Linebacker out of Parker High and I'm 6'3", 220, and I'm ranked the number 25 player in the country, mm-hmm. and Oregon calls me up and says, just come visit. Just come out here to the great Northwest, Uncle T. Think about playing with Nike, and now we're in the Big Ten and all. Well, you know, man, it's a long ways away, and Grandmama can't come see me. We'll give you $10,000 and a plane ticket to come visit us. I'll see you next weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the game's played now, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's what it seems like. And whether they're open about it or not. I mean, it's not
open about it or not. I mean, who, you know, what are the ramifications if there are any? I mean, the McDonald's bags of cash that Jeremy Pruitt was allegedly handing out for kids to visit Tennessee years ago is just the normal now.
And it's just so different, right? It's so different. And that's what Auburn is trying to get an advantage of when you're talking about kids like Caleb Cunningham and Naeem Offord, the big 4- and 5-star players that are actively coming to campus time and time again. And the fact that they're on campus is a huge step.
I mean, though, I wouldn't be surprised if what Pruitt was doing up at Tennessee or he got accused of is anything that was standard operating procedure at most big-time colleges back then. They just never got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And now all the things that you see are happening now in college football, I think, have just been happening forever. Now it's just out in the open and protected by the NIL umbrella, which the NCAA seems to have no rules or no regulations about, nor do they want to be, because if they start cracking down, somebody's going to sue them and say, are you serious that you're not going to allow a young African-American from Mobile, Alabama, to go pursue his college football dream and get some cash to do so?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fight that fight, but you speak of Naeem Offord. This is a massive recruit. Massive. And to get him back on campus, he was down here a couple of times from Parker High in Birmingham this past fall. And these are some quotes that I fleed off of AuburnSports.com. That's Brian Matthews' site. I highly recommend you get over there and join it. They've got good information. But this quote right here from an article says what the coaches told him: stay in Alabama. They say I'm their number one guy. They are the only school telling me that. Boom. That's how you sell, folks.
That's how you do it, and that's what you have to tell them. You have to be that way. And look, here's the thing. I don't think that's a lie from Auburn. That's not a stretch from Auburn. That is a cold, hard fact that Auburn is going after him, and they want him worse than anybody. And it's not coming from a place of desperation, though. I think there's a difference there, Uncle T-Bone.
Right.
I think there's times where the Missouris of the world will walk in and say, you're our number one guy. We want you. We got
you. You're the number one guy we've had circled in 15 years, pal.
Compared to what Auburn's trying to do, which they've already built on the recruiting trail, and they're trying to add to it. This is not coming from desperation for these guys. Hugh Freeze is trying to do something here, and I think he's doing a really good job. A couple of other names I want to throw out there before we get to our first break here in hour number one. You had 5-star edge rusher Anthony Jones, and you also had Jamichael Garrett going through some drills and camps and things. Those guys are two of the best in the class in terms of the edge and the linebacker spot. Apparently Jones is not really going to do anything anytime soon. Garrett, though, Jamichael Garrett, commits on the 19th of this month, and apparently Auburn is feeling pretty good about it. So we will see how that goes. Tons of big names were on campus this weekend for Auburn football, and I think they're just making momentum in every single battle. They're not going to win them all. And that's something that we know. We're not naive to that. You aren't either, the listener. But Auburn is in the door with so many of these kids, which they just were not for years and years and years. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Got a couple of texts that we're going to get to, plus best and worst, or just good and bad from the weekend. Again, no phone lines as of now, but you can text us on our brand new On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. That's 334-784-1067. Got a couple softball questions we can get to, plus, again, good and bad from the weekend. That's all coming up after this here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 1067 app.
All right, we do this on most Mondays, but Uncle Tebow, let's do it. Good and bad from the weekend. Best and worst, good and bad, whatever you want to call it. We normally end up talking about multiple things, but it's a Monday. There was a lot that happened in sports this weekend. What do you got, good and bad from the weekend? It could be sports or not sports if you really wanted to. I'm not going to put limitations on it.
Yeah, I mean, sports-wise, for sure, for me, seeing Robert McIntyre win the Canadian Open with his old man, his caddy, and the emotion that his father had afterwards, and I mean, it's just incredible. And McIntyre get on there. The only thing that made this better is the U.S. Open on Father's Day, but him saying, I want to win this for my dad. And, you know, his old man coming to tears and stuff and talking about how he's just a grass cutter and never expected there to be there. And I mean, I just, it was fantastic to see that. And big win for rookie Robert McIntyre on tour. He'll be going to the Masters now next year. So we'll look for him in Augusta. And pretty soon here on Father's Day weekend, the U.S. Open will be coming up. The worst of the weekend. And I think it's one of the worst sports in college. I mean, excuse me, one of the worst stories in sports. Mm. And this is the continued abuse that Caitlin Clark is having to take in the WNBA. This has gone long, long past some type of rookie hazing, some type of envy because she's the star of the league now and making it rain for all these other people and actually bringing eyeballs to the WNBA that hardly anybody around the country was watching, especially in these parts. And this Caitlin Clark has just been nothing but a class act as a rookie in the NBA. And she is being physically, mentally abused. This is past hazing by the likes of Angel Reese and these hooligan women in the WNBA. And I got to ask, if the shoe was on the other foot and this was a bunch of white women doing this to a black rookie, what would the response be? Because I look at it nothing more than racism.
It's really gotten into the media here in the last couple of days, and there was a big argument on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp and a couple of reporters on there. And, you know, here's what I'm going to say. The fact that the WNBA is being talked about as much as it is a miracle. It's a miracle because for basically its entire existence, nobody cared. And I'm not saying that because it was bad. I'm not saying it because I dislike them. I have nothing against them. I'm just saying the general public did not watch it. They didn't listen to it. They didn't care. But now that there are players, and it's a combination. It's not just Caitlin Clark, in my opinion. It's a combination of players and the class that has come in, and even the last couple of classes that have come into the WNBA that have really made a spark in college women's basketball and then the WNBA. And so they should be thankful on that front, in my opinion. And if you want to show the rookies who's boss and remind them of that they are a rookie and whatever in the next league and the highest level of professional women's basketball, that's fine. But it has gotten a little out of hand with Caitlin Clark, who, of course, is the highlight that everybody talks about, that ESPN pumps more than anybody on social media, television, and radio. Okay, that's why she's at the forefront. It's because they grasped onto her and they pushed it as hard as they could. But she had a quote the other day on that hard foul where she just got hip-checked out of nowhere, where they did eventually upgrade it to a flagrant one after the game.
And how pathetic was the referees in that game taking a look at that, not having the guts to make that call on court?
And she just had to come out and say, it's not a basketball play. And it's not. And so we have these arguments all the time in men's sports where at some point, there has to be some control. You've got to gain control of the people around the situation, whether it be coaches or players or the league getting control of officiating. It all needs to be reeled back in my opinion. I think the WNBA has just gotten a little, I don't know the best way to say it. There's just a lot happening. There's more happening in that sport than there's ever been, Uncle T-Bone. More than there's ever been. There's more attention to it than ever before. But I think there's just a lot happening there. It needs to be reeled back just a hair, a little bit more control with all the attention that the WNBA is getting.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark plays for the Indiana Fever. If I was Indiana Fever ownership, I'd fire the coach and hire Bill Laimbeer to be my coach. And how pathetic is it that WNBA basketball has gotten more physical than the NBA?
It has. In the last couple of days, it has. You better believe it.
But this is just ridiculous. They're just blatant cheap shots. I mean, you got to just Google and watch the videos. Well, and this has been going on with nasty tweets and nasty words
and
on
comments,
the court.
Yeah,
and this Caitlin Clark just continues to keep her chin up like a class act and ball and says, look, I'm just going to take it and play ball. Where is Caitlin Clark's teammates? Mm. Because I can tell you what, if I saw that one more time and that was the last time that it happened, I'm taking somebody out if I'm one of her teammates. Sorry, it's on.
I continue to stress that this success and this attention is not just from Caitlin Clark, but she's a main factor of it. I mean, she is probably 75% of it on her own. And there's been people that have talked about it already. It's just the pettiness is unbelievable of the former and current WNBA players that were playing before this rookie class arrived. I mean, there's some hot names in there. I mean, there's some big-time players that came out of this college class and into the WNBA.
Well, I mean, women's college basketball has never been more popular.
Exactly. And so
they're starting to move and gravitate up the ladder into the WNBA.
But it's like it's the ones that were there before. They're just mad that they weren't able to make it so successful, and they're just acting petty for no reason.
Well, they're hooligans and losers.
They're getting paid more money than they ever have before. They're getting more people watching them than they ever have before, and it's hard to accept it. I can't figure it out.
I'd get me at the female equivalent of Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer if I was, and somebody'd start dropping some soup bones on the opposition.
There you go.
If I was Uncle T-Bone coaching.
Good and bad from the weekend. I'll give you some of mine when we come back, plus some college football news to get to coming up after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. Again, reminder, no phone lines yet. We are actively getting those fixed, and hopefully we'll have them back maybe this afternoon, maybe early into this week. But here at On the Line, we have our own text box that you can reach out to us if you want to get your thoughts, comments, and concerns, questions, whatever the case may be. You can reach out to us on our new On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. Tell us your name, where you're texting from. That way we can give you some love on the air. My good and bad from the weekend quickly before we move into some college football things. You're going to be really proud, and this has nothing to do with sports, Uncle T-Bone. You're going to be so proud of me. Andy, if you're out there, you're going to be proud too. I hope you're listening. You know what I finally watched on TV this weekend?
Old School.
I finally watched
My
Old
Man.
School. I finally watched Old School. I did. I rented it because you can't get it for free anywhere. And out of the 8 subscriptions that I have, none of the platforms offer it for free. So I spent the whopping $4, $3.99 on Amazon Prime.
Some of the best money you ever spent.
No free plugs, but I did. I watched it.
Was it what you expected?
It was everything I expected. Yeah, it was everything that I expected.
I mean, how good a movie is that?
It was great. I laughed for 90 minutes.
That's right. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue. And see, here's what's crazy is I've seen clips from that show, like on from that movie on social media.
Yeah,
and
like
things.
On memes.
Yeah, I just didn't know where it was from. But I like so many of those got pieced together. And so do not watch that one with the kids in the room. That
not
one is,
safe for work.
That one is not safe for work, but it is hilarious. And man, there's a lot of big names in there that I mean, you've got not only do you have Will Ferrell, and that's what, Owen Wilson's brother, is that right? And then you have, of course, yes, Vince Vaughn, but then you've got Ellen Pompeo, you've got what's the lady's name from King of Queens, his wife, I forget her actress name.
Yeah, the one who used to be a Scientologist and had to break away and sue.
Yeah. Her, she's in there. I mean, there's a lot of big names that are in that movie, and it was hilarious. So shout out to you. You've been trying to get me to watch it, and for no good reason, I've pushed it off for about 2 months, but I did. I watched Old School yesterday, so at least for that movie, you can get off of me and all
Next
my
up is
too.
Office Space.
Office Space. Okay. See, I started making a list.
Yeah,
I'm going to write it
list.
Down. All right. I'm
now, you have seen the original Fletch, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that was my good from the weekend that was completely non-sports related. Lots of good things. We now have the NBA and NHL finals that are set. We've got my Celtics that start on Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks. And hey, we'll have every single game of that right here on ESPN 106.7. So be sure that you're tuning in starting Thursday night for game one of the NBA finals. And
nice.
The NHL Stanley Cup final is set as well. The Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Unfortunately, if you're not a hockey fan, that's just not a matchup that you're going to get excited about. It will be a good series, but those two logos and teams it's not getting people tuning in, right? It's not the Bruins. It's not the Rangers. It's not the Penguins. It's not the Stars. Like, it's just not a matchup.
Hey, don't sell that tradition of the Oilers short now. I mean,
hey, they have
Wayne
one of
Gretzky
the best players
played.
In the game. They've got Connor McDavid. He's one of the best.
I mean, that's an old school hockey franchise. And back in the day with Wayne Gretzky, we're always in the mix. And I believe Mark Messier played with them as well.
Also from this weekend, before we get to college football things, how about college baseball and all these regional matchups? They've been fantastic, and they've had some really big stories. The SEC has done fairly well. They've had a couple of disappointments. Arkansas, golly, again.
Getting
Arkansas
bounced, man.
I know. At what point do they just say, we got to move on? I mean, they have some of the best talent every year, but he can't get it done.
I mean, it just goes to show in this league how talented every team is when you look at Arkansas and you're like, well, they've got some of the best talent in the league, and then you start making a list.
Yep.
You know, and there's like 12, 14 teams almost have that same amount of talent or have it. So that's a big bummer for them in Fayetteville, and I know that they're disappointed. Kansas State just rocking him out of there. And I believe Kansas State played yesterday. Did they finish it off and make the College World Series?
Kansas State, yes, they did play yesterday, and I'm pretty sure they did. Yes, they did. They beat Southeast Missouri State 7-2, advancing to the Super Regional.
You know, there's a lot of really good teams, though, in college baseball, and a lot of them that aren't very big as well are compared big names, like in the SEC. It's just like Stetson blasting Alabama out of the regional.
Bama going over.
Going over, losing to Central Florida and Stetson. But, you know, that's a Stetson team that's played Auburn before, and they had some people who could play. I've seen them.
Well, look around the SEC. I mean, you had Kentucky that advanced to the Super Regional, Tennessee that advanced to the Super Regional. How about Texas A&M advancing to the Super Regional? That's a scary good team, I'll tell you
what. How about that game where they played Texas? How intense was that?
I'm telling you what.
I got to go back and look at that regional if you don't have it pulled up. But I recognized every single one of those teams as being a team lately in college baseball that was a powerhouse. I believe Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns were in there. And they can ball, and I cannot for the life of me remember the fourth team in that regional. But they, they had some talent. I mean, you got Texas and Texas A&M in a regional.
That's awesome.
You can't tell me that wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, they had some strategy behind that one. But on the flip side, we already mentioned Arkansas that got beat. You had Vanderbilt that got beat. Alabama that got beat. But on the other flip, Mississippi State, right, who had to take on Virginia on, I believe that was on Saturday, and then, they had to come back and play again and lost to Virginia in the advanced game. And so Mississippi State gets bounced. But how about Georgia moving on to the Super Regional for the first time in 16 years? Oklahoma, I mean, there's so many big games, and there's games going on today. You still have a handful of spots that need to be filled. Florida, Oklahoma State playing right now, tied at zero. Nobody scored yet in the bottom of the second. Oklahoma playing UConn, of course, an SEC team starting next season. And then LSU, who just decides every year in the postseason when they just want to turn it on, and they become one of the most dangerous teams in college baseball.
Yeah, I mean, look for them every postseason to do some damage, especially when they get up to Birmingham. I mean, they just swing the bat so well in the postseason. I've never seen anything like it. They just turn on the lights.
Yeah, they do. A quick update. We did get a text on our on the line text box, 334-784-1067, asking about an update on the Auburn softball coaching search. There are a couple of names that are flying around, and the big one has been from Oklahoma State. That's a name that was there originally, Kenny Gajewski, and they were waiting to see if Oklahoma State, how far they went into the postseason. They lost. They went 0-2 in the College World Series. And so in terms of names, I've heard very little, and there hasn't been a whole lot of movement. I will say this, though. There's a couple of reports from AL.com and from the Montgomery Advertiser, some quotes from John Cohen, athletic director for Auburn, talking about the softball coaching search. And he says, quote, "I feel more of an urgency to get it right than to do it quickly." When he was asked about the coaching vacancy at a meeting today, he says, quote, "I'm looking for the right people in place. That's really important to us. I do feel like we're fairly close to having a decision made." He makes a quote about on what he is looking for in a coach. He says, quote, "We need a coaching staff that will engage the community. You look at the best softball programs in the country, And it starts there. The best coaches are the coaches who have engaged in their community. And then on the process, he says, quote, the development and recruiting part are really the same. We're in the process of finding the people who can come to Auburn, our softball program, and really have a great history and tradition of player development and recruiting evaluation. I mean, the two things that you're looking for in pretty much any head coach for any program. So any movement and word on that, we will continue to pass that along, whether it be hopefully this week, maybe next week, but as more teams get eliminated from the College World Series on the softball side of things, and as it really gets into the postseason, I'm sure we'll get some updates on that. Again, you can text us on our text box, 334-784-1067. Give us your name, where you're from, and we'd love to get you involved in the show.
One of the quotes that I saw on that softball coaching search from John Cohen, Auburn AD, was on AL.com article earlier I read, and he said there's a sense of urgency about it. But the sense of urgency is to get the hire right.
Yeah.
It's not just to get someone in place and let's get going. And let's just make sure we get this hire right. And is there a more critical time in Auburn softball or any sport with the expansion and bringing in Oklahoma and Texas? And look at what they do in all sports, especially Oklahoma and softball. I mean, it's hard enough as it is to get very far. Look at Arkansas. It's not going to get anything but tougher from them in baseball moving here on out. Auburn must get this hire right, or they're going to quickly find themselves in the bottom half of the SEC.
That's a really good point, because we continue to look at the big three when terms of Texas and Oklahoma being added. But, I mean, I would say that in those big three sports, football, basketball, baseball, wouldn't you agree that Texas is probably the biggest threat in those sports versus Oklahoma? But in softball, it's Oklahoma.
Oh,
it's
no
not
question.
Even close.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not even close.
Oklahoma softball is the biggest threat that Oklahoma is bringing with them right now. Not that they're not threats in the other big sports, right? Because they are. Nobody wants to mess with Oklahoma in football. Nobody wants to mess with them in basketball right now. But Texas is probably the bigger threat out of the two in those sports. But in softball, yeah, it's no question. Oklahoma's
right,
the best
right
program
now,
in the country.
Right now, no doubt about it, with Steve Sarkisian in football, I'd put them just a head above Oklahoma. Oklahoma's playing a little catch-up program. Didn't go quite into the dip that Auburn's program did in football, but it took a little step back, and Brent Venables has been – that's a tough job for him coming into this league to build that program up a step behind a team that went to the Final Four and practically your biggest rival now in Texas. Basketball-wise, I'd say they're about even. Texas might have a slight advantage. Baseball-wise, I'd say they're even. But when you look at softball – it's Oklahoma and then the rest of college softball.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
a
it.
Big gap.
They
yeah.
are it. And yeah. so, look, Auburn's going to get a coach in here. Just give it some time, folks. And I like John Cohen's comments. We're not worried about filling the position quickly with urgency. We're urgent about making sure we get the right person.
And it's the way to do it. It's not the way that most people operate. It's not the way that the fans want it to happen a lot of times, Uncle T-Bone, where they want something right now. And there's been, I mean, you've had plenty of time. I mean, Mickey Dean told Auburn that he was not going to come back a few weeks before postseason play started, but that doesn't mean you got to go and A, find his replacement immediately, and then, you know, B, you don't have to just kick him out the door and bring the new guy in right after him. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, there's always that saying that people are, most athletic directors got a list of about 3 to 5 people in every sport in their top drawer, and I'm not so sure that is exactly right anymore. You know, if you look at Alabama, obviously they had Kalen DeBoer lined up when Nick Saban was going out, and they made it a big deal because how quickly they were able to replace Nick Saban, right? But you know, I think that people oftentimes rush into hires and make the wrong hires. Alan Green, Brian Horse, just to make a big splash on a timetable. I'm not worried about the timetable, especially in a sport, and I'm not saying that softball is not important, but it's not quite as important right now because if you had to replace somebody in college football right now as your head football coach, you better jump on it quickly because the recruiting timetable is clicking. This is it. Mm-hmm. Look at what just happened not only at Auburn's campus this weekend, but campuses all across the Southeastern Conference. Big-time players were coming in. So I'm not quite as worried about it. I just want to make sure, and this is another example of John Cohen, who's very thorough. And they're going to get the right fit and the right person. Let's just hope it works out, because if not, Auburn softball is going to be in a lot of trouble with the competition out there. Look, Florida, they're moving on in the College Softball World Series. You saw that game last night against Alabama, and it was a good one. And the competition in this league is stiff.
Well, speaking of Florida and Oklahoma, those two teams are playing softball right now in the College World Series. Florida on top of Oklahoma, 2-0 inside the park home run. How about that?
Go on, Gators.
They're up 2-0 on Oklahoma in the bottom of the second. Texas and Stanford will play tonight as well. An update on some of the college baseball games. Told you Florida, so both of their teams active in postseason play. They're taking on Oklahoma State.
You know
State
what, Jacob?
Right,
you just told me that score, and I just made a decision in my life.
Oh,
you want to hear it?
Oh, gosh.
I'm just not going to cheer for Oklahoma in any sport.
Yeah?
There's just too much red in this conference already, and I can't handle any more of it. Get out, Boomer Sooner.
I like it. Evansville beat East Carolina to move on to the Super Regional. There's one of your smaller name teams moving on. Evansville moving on to the Super Regional. LSU North Carolina play tonight. Oregon State, UC Irvine, and UConn and Oklahoma. So cheering
some
on
good
the Huskies,
baseball.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, let's go Huskies. They took care of another team I really like in basketball, this Final Four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big UConn fan around here.
That's right. Hey, let's get to our final break. We'll come back. We've got some betting odds and some early lines for Auburn football in their first few games of the season. And then as we get into hour number two, we're looking at the latest Football Power Index. It's a huge simulation, bunch of numbers. We'll break it all down to tell you what that means as we get into hour number two. Again, give us a text on our on the line text box, 334-784-1067. As we're getting the phone lines fixed, you can give us a text there, 334-784-1067. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Can't believe it's already June, Uncle T-Bone. Can you believe that?
Hard to believe.
It's June 3rd.
Half of 2024 is almost over with. I can remember like it was Christmas yesterday, and it'll be Christmas before we know it when college football starts here shortly.
Yes, and speaking of that, as we wrap up this first hour, Auburn 247, my buddy Nathan King and our good friends over there, Nathan King, Christian Clemente, Jason Caldwell, all those guys over at Auburn Undercover, check them out at 247sports.com, auburnundercover.com. They did an article a couple of days ago, and based off of some point spreads via DraftKings, so of course you can look at the different, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, whichever one you want to look at. But we have some early spreads for Auburn football in their first couple, and not just their first games, but in a couple of their games this season. I think this needs to be bookmarked. I think we need to bookmark this.
I'm writing this down as we speak.
Beautiful.
In my journal.
Good, because we're gonna do two things. We're gonna compare it to the week of, and then almost you and hopefully Jack Hutton can compare this on game day on Wings coming up this fall and see if it's changed or if Auburn just absolutely beats some of these spreads.
All right, let's do it.
So week five. All right, we've talked about how big this week is. Oklahoma coming to Auburn, where the Tigers should be 4-0 after they take care of three cupcakes and Arkansas. Auburn is an underdog at home in that game by 2.5 points. Oklahoma favored by 2.5. Auburn an underdog by less than a field goal.
Plus 2.5. I'll take the Tigers there.
All right, week six, the very next week, when Auburn makes their first road
middle.
I don't do that. I don't.
That's professional services. That's way too many points for me not to take this early right now. If I can take them, I'll take those 24.
That's just a lot of points this far out. I mean, it's the beginning
of June.
That's
a ridiculous amount of points.
24? I mean, Auburn's probably not going to win that game, but, man, look what they did last year at home. I mean, they should have won the game last year.
I mean, look, Georgia is probably, by all accounts, everyone's number one team in the country heading into this season, if not number two. Odds on favorite to win the SEC, I'd say. I haven't seen those odds yet, but that would be my guess. But you're telling me I'm going to get 24 points, I'll take them.
Absolutely. Some other games on here for Auburn in week eight, according to DraftKings.com, and again, saw this on Auburn 247. Auburn on the road at Missouri. We've talked about how big of a game this could be. Both teams could be 5-1 in this game. This could be a huge decider on playoff implications, Uncle T-Bone. I know that's crazy to say, but I believe it's true. Auburn catching 10 at Missouri in week eight. underdogs by double digits on the road at Missouri.
They won't be a 10-point underdog by the time that game comes around.
Could Auburn be a favorite in that game?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, you know, anything could happen if the Cook quarterback for Missouri was hurt, or Luther Burden got hurt, or Eli Drinkwitz got a DUI, God forbid, the week before. Who knows what's going to happen? Anything could happen, but probably not. But I'll take those 10 points. That just seems like that's too many as well.
Week 13, when Auburn returns home, and a couple of weeks after that, Texas A&M on the road here in Jordan-Hare. The Aggies are favored by 3 right now. Yeah. Auburn is an underdog in week 13 at home. That's the one I disagree with. Big time.
By kickoff, if there's no tragic injuries to any players on Auburn's roster, i.e. the quarterback's knee gets blown out, God forbid, or anything like that, Auburn will be a favorite in that game.
They should be.
Take those 3 points right now and go for the proverbial middle.
Yeah, you're saying, I mean, in your book, you should just start parlaying some of these together.
I'll tell you right now, I just cannot, and I have not, and will not do the majority of my preseason homework till later in the month for after the 4th of July. Why on earth in all these preseason polls is Texas A&M getting so much love?
I have no idea. Final game, Auburn at Alabama, the Crimson Tide, favored by 15. I wouldn't touch that one right now because you have no idea what week 14 of college football in late November is going to look like. I'm good.
That just seems a little bit too high for any Iron Bowl.
I agree. We've seen blowouts before, but we've seen nail biters too.
Yeah, you're absolutely especially right. When Auburn doesn't play very well up in Bryant-Denny, and it's been since they won up there. But golly, 15 points. I'll take it right now.
We got a couple of texts that we're going to get to. Again, no phone lines for now, but you can text us on the line text box, 334-784-1067. Talking all things college football. Coming up in hour number 2.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. And if you missed any of hour number 1, you can go back and listen to the podcast. You can find it one of two ways at ESPNAU.com, or you can go and you can find it wherever you get your podcast. Just search On the Line. We talked about Auburn football recruiting in hour 1 as it was a big weekend for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers here on the Plains with some big guys who were on campus this weekend. Also did a good and bad from the weekend in sports and not sports as well. And I finally watched a movie that Uncle T-Bone's been trying to get me to watch for about 2 months. And so had some of that conversation. Also just talked a little bit of Auburn, I guess college baseball, Auburn softball updates, and then talked some point spreads for Auburn football in some of their games this season. So it was a jam-packed hour number 1. If you missed it, you can go and listen to the podcast. Here in hour number 2, we have another update for you. Hour number 2 now for On the Line. The 3 o'clock hour of On the Line is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. Yes, they are our new hour number 2 sponsor of the show, so we appreciate them. The Orthopedic Clinic, of course, is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find the Orthopedic Clinic and find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So thanks so much to our good friends over there. They are sponsoring hour number 2 each and every day here on ESPN 106.7. No phone lines yet, but you can text us on the line text box 334-784-1067. We've had a couple of people do that already. Tell us who you are and where you're from. We'll make sure we get some of your get some of your comments out on the air. Jeff down from Enterprise tuning in.
Hey.
He texts us and says, pretty funny troll job from Stetson to Alabama baseball and Roll Tide Willie. If y'all haven't seen it, he says, thanks for the new text on Jeff in Enterprise. We appreciate him. And also got a text from John in Auburn, loyal listener as well, who calls in a lot of times, but we're still getting those fixed from the lightning strike. And he mentions this. John says, no national championships in Auburn men's sports since football in 2010. You guys get hit by lightning, and we get another natty in about 4 days. Just saying. Thanks for taking one for the team.
That's BL and AL. AL, before lightning and after lightning.
And I think that's a real thing. I mean, look, if John in Auburn wants to give us the credit for Auburn winning a national championship in men's golf, I don't want to take away from them, but I'm okay
with
that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll help jump in and take some of the credit. I'm going to give the most of the credit to that stud, J.M. Butler, who said, I'm not going to be Jabba today. I don't think so. I'm mentally tough. And we're champions, and you're not, Florida State. Thanks.
I mean, that's understandable. Now, look, if Auburn men's golf wants to send us some rings, I'm okay with that. That's fine with me.
We probably deserve at least one.
I mean, we could
share a trophy.
Yeah, you know, or a plaque. We'll put it on the wall in here in the studio at ESPN.
On the Wall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we got five people on the Wall of Fame.
I notice I'm not on there yet.
Yeah, we got to get you a picture back.
Maybe we'll do a full football season and see how it goes.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, okay. We'll get through a year, make sure you hadn't been kicked off the airwaves yet. So,
not yet,
John and Auburn says, since we get struck by lightning, Auburn wins a national championship a couple of days after. Is that called correlation or coincidence? I'm not really sure.
I think it's called, just Annie Jabba is the only thing I can think of. I mean, I don't know what correlation more than coincidence.
I like that. So we appreciate you guys listening. Always, you can text us again on our new On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Today, Uncle T-Bone on ESPN.com, you all can go check it out and follow along with us because it's in-depth and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But the FPI has been released, the Football Power Index. And what that is it's a collection of a bunch of numbers and a bunch of simulations that tell us, numbers-wise, what we need to know and who is going to be good and who's not in college football. And so here's sort of a good breakdown of what the College Football Power Index is going to be, okay?
All right.
It basically is a bunch of the numbers based off of your schedule, based off of your record, based off of your conference, based off your schedule, all of those different things. And it puts a number and they put it into a generator and it spits out a number. And that number is how many points better a college football team is on average against the average team. Okay. So for example, Georgia, who is the number one team in the Football Power Index, their FPI is 26.8. So you can round up and say 27. That means Georgia is 27 points better than the average football team in college. That's pretty good. That's a pretty solid number for Georgia on any given day, on any given team. They are, on average, better 27 points.
I guess that's why their preseason of 24 point favorite against Auburn in week 6.
That's apparently so. I guess Auburn is just a little bit above average according to that.
I can buy that.
And so with that, they also take those numbers and they simulate the college football season, every team, every game, every schedule, 20,000 times. And they take all those averages and they spit out all these different numbers, okay? It's way above my IQ level. That's why I talk on the radio, but I talk about what they give the results as, okay? And so in this FPI, you've got some big-name teams up here, and it gives you projections on their playoff percentage, their championship percentage, their projected record, all these different things based off the numbers. Georgia, right now, their FPI is 27, projected wins 10. They have a 78% chance to make the college football playoff, which, by the way, is an expanded college football playoff, Uncle T-Bone. There are now 12 teams that make it into the playoff. So a team in a program like Georgia, even before you run the numbers, their chances got even higher because of it being 12 instead of 4.
It would take someone pointing a gun to my head and saying, you cannot pick Georgia to make the playoffs, for me to not pick them making the playoffs next season. Now, I will say this. Their schedule is far more difficult than it has been. We talked about that ad nauseum last Friday. They're finally playing a real schedule, it seems like. A lot of that's because the Tennessees, Floridas, and Auburns of the world have been down, too. So you can't just blame Georgia for having a cupcake schedule over the last 5 years in the SEC. But that'll play to their benefit this season. I mean, at Texas, at Alabama, you go 1-2 there, two of the top 10 teams easy in college football. You know, and you got, you know, open with Clemson, take care of business there. I mean, when we went through it, I mean, we saw, including Georgia, six legitimate teams on their schedule that can make the preseason would be picked as a possibility to make the college football playoffs if you included Georgia. So, I mean, it's a difficult schedule, but they got them right there at ESPN as numero uno. They go 1-15 to start this article. A couple of things jump out to me real quick here. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss is not in that top 15. Mm-hmm. Everybody is showing the Johnny Reb some love this preseason. And Michigan, the defending champion at 12, there's a picture of their new head coach, Sharon Moore, right at the top of the article that Neil Payne has here today. 25-1 odds to repeat as national champions at ESPN Bet. School record, 18 players selected in the 2024 NFL draft. You think Jim Harbaugh got out while the getting was good?
I would say so.
I do, too. That could be a tough – look, just looking at that, that made me go look at Michigan's schedule real quick. It is not an easy schedule.
Well, that's a new-look Big Ten. You're adding four legitimate programs to that conference now with Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA.
And they catch three of those four, and one of them's not UCLA.
Gosh.
At Washington, hosting Oregon, hosting USC, hosting Texas. They open up with Fresno State, and that's a scrappy little football program.
I wouldn't mess with them if you don't have to.
So this is going to be a tough first year for Mr. Sharon Moore. I'll have my Uncle T-Bone Radio Free Auburn Top 20 launched right after the 4th of July. And as always, the defending national champion is number one in my poll till someone knocks them off. So Michigan will be number one in my poll, although I don't believe they should be. They will be because that's how I roll.
Okay.
And they won't be number one in that poll very long.
I don't think so either. And that's where the FPI – and again, this is a power rating, right? This is a power rating based off of your offensive numbers, your defensive numbers, your special teams numbers, and they simulate every game. Through conference championships, through the college football playoffs, and they do this 20,000 times. Like, that's pretty legit. That's a good sample size here. And what sticks out to me, here's your top 15, okay? Georgia, Oregon, Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, and Penn State at 6. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Florida State round out the top 10. Missouri, Michigan, Clemson, LSU, and Kansas round out the top 15, all right? And you start looking through here, they've still got Alabama 22 points better than the average football team. I think that's fair based off of talent alone. Until they prove otherwise, I think that's a fair assessment for Alabama, projecting them to go and get 9 wins this season and a 57% chance to make the college football playoff for Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Boy, I bet that feels a little low to Alabama fans out there at 57%.
8.4% chance to win it all.
It's going to feel a little low for Alabama fans out there as well. Look, offensively, I think, just real quick, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Before we go through the other 15, Alabama will be, in my opinion, fine offensively this season. But it's that defense I think you got to start worrying about.
Yeah.
I mean, you're replacing
a lot.
You're replacing a ton. You lost a ton. Now, there's some transfer portal guys coming in, but you can't bank on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Kane Womack as the head of that defense now as opposed to Nick Saban. They're going to drop off defensively.
You think so?
No question about it.
Well, Alabama, according to this, is projected to be 9-3. The projected win-loss, again, this is all based off of numbers. It's 9.3, 3.0. So we're going to round up and down just to make solid numbers, but they're projected to be 9-3 this season. And all things considered, I think that's probably about accurate, especially given Alabama's football schedule. And compare, I mean, having to play, you host Georgia this season, right? You obviously still have to play Auburn, and you get the crossovers too. I mean, 9-3 in the first year under Kalen DeBoer, it will be disappointing to Alabama fans, but in reality, I don't think it's all that crazy.
Where do you think that first loss comes from on that schedule? At Wisconsin?
See, I want to pick that.
That's going to be a sexy pick, but I just don't. I can't believe in it.
Wisconsin doesn't have the talent yet. They've got a great coach in Luke Fickell from Cincinnati.
He is a good coach.
But they don't have the talent yet.
Madtown?
Talent alone
should
carry
Alabama.
I've seen
a lot of good teams over the years go up to Madtown and come away with an L.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I don't think. You're right. That's going to be a sexy pick in, what is that, week two or three?
It's in week two.
Week two, September 14th. That's going to be one of the biggest upset picks of the year.
No, that might be week three, actually. I think. Do they have
It is week three, September 14th. You're right. South Florida's week two, and then Bama goes to Wisconsin in week three. And I think it depends on how they look against South Florida. Now, that game is in Tuscaloosa, so you saw how that game went last year in South Florida. That was ugly.
Also Nick Saban sending a message to his fan base to hush your little mouths about my quarterback choices, and I'm going to give you what you want.
Yeah.
And after that game, everyone who had anything to say wanted Jalen Milroe back in the saddle.
Have you ever seen a coach to that extent just go out of his way to prove a point?
There's very few coaches in the history of any sport that could pull that off.
And he did.
And he dang sure did.
I mean, it was impressive. So, no, I mean, logically, Alabama's first loss will be, I'd say, at home against Georgia. I think Georgia can walk in there and win that football game.
Oh, there's no question about it. Georgia can walk in and win that football game. But in the famous words of Pat Dyer, they man enough to do it.
But look at this. And we're going to get to more teams and get to Auburn as well, because Auburn's a top 20 team in the FPI, which is really surprising to me. We'll get to that in a second. Alabama at Wisconsin, home for Georgia. If they somehow win both of those games, they play Vanderbilt, South Carolina next. Their toughest game after that would be October 19th at Tennessee.
Yeah, they're steamrolling towards a playoff berth if they get those two wins.
But you still have at Tennessee, Missouri comes to Tuscaloosa, you're in LSU, you're in Norman before Auburn comes to town for the Iron Bowl. Like,
it's a difficult schedule.
It is, for sure. So 9-3 doesn't seem crazy to me, according to the FPI, for Alabama. You look at some of these other teams. How about Texas, the newcomer in the SEC, the second highest SEC team? They are projected, their FPI is 23, so 23 points better than the average football team. They're projected to go 10-2 this year, the Texas Longhorns in the SEC. And we've looked at their schedule and how easy it is compared to others, especially their counterpart, Oklahoma, who is behind them at 8 in the FPI right now. So another top 10. Look at the SEC teams in here. Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri. There's 6 teams in the top 10 of these power rankings, according to ESPN's numbers.
You know, I see LSU there at 14, and I think that's a really good starting point and a very accurate ranking for them preseason with everything they lost, especially Jaden Daniels breaking in the new starting quarterback. But that's a team right there. If they can find their rhythm early at quarterback, you're going to see them move up the food chain very quickly.
So 6 teams in the top 10, plus you mentioned LSU, that's 7. A&M, they are at 14, that's 8. Ole Miss at 16, that's 9. Auburn at 19, that's 10. And Florida at 20 is 11. 11 of the top 20 teams in the FPI or SEC programs. That's unbelievable.
It's hard for me to believe that Florida will be anywhere near a top 20 ranking very long, if at all, this football season. And if they are, Billy Napier's done one heck of a job. That schedule is the hardest in college football. And where is Utah? I mean, that's a team right there that jumps off the page immediately, not being in this top 20.
They're in 27th.
I'll take Cam Rising coming back and Utah for 200, Alex, as someone who's going to make the college football playoffs that's not in this top 20.
FPI has them going 8-4 this season for Utah. And Florida, the FPI, it may love them early, but it does not love them at the end of the year. 6-6 at best.
I mean, they'll be very fortunate to go 6-6. I cannot wait to see how they square off against Miami early in the season. It will be the tail of the tape for the rest of their season.
We're looking at some more of the FPI. When we come back, we'll look at Auburn's numbers. Dak has texted. He's got a few things to say as well. Again, working on the phone lines right now. We got the engineer in here. He's getting it all wired up, ready to go. But we do have the on-the-line text box that you can reach us at for now, 334-784-1067. Can't call, can't get in that way, but you can text us there. We'd love to hear hear from you. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you want to say. We'll get you. We'll get your thoughts and comments on the air as well. Talking more college football after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, we continue on talking college football here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And Dak texted in our On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Dak says, bet on Auburn to cover every game after the lines came out yesterday. So those lines we were talking about earlier, Uncle T-Bone. Dak says, take Auburn to cover every single one of them. He also says, home and away right now with the spread. Don't wait another month for the spreads to change. And also, bet on Auburn wins over seven.
You know, we're talking about the five games that came out on DraftKings. We'll give that a real quick recap of what Dak was talking about week five. Early on, this line, for entertainment purposes only, Auburn catching 2.5 first Oklahoma. The next week at Georgia, catching 24, then catching in week 8, 10. On the road against Missouri, week 13, plus 3. At home versus Texas A&M, which I'm just completely blown away by. And then last but not least in the Iron Bowl, catching 15 versus Bama in Tuscaloosa. I'm going to go ahead and predict that by the time Oklahoma comes to town, that game will be a pick 'em at the very least. And if it's a night game and Auburn's 4-0, which they should be after these first four games, they will be favored when Oklahoma comes to Jordan-Hare in week five. And I'm going to tell you straight up right now, they're going to be favored over Texas A&M. That's just a prediction of mine, but I, for the life of me, cannot understand why Texas A&M is getting so much love with a new coach. Look, the old coach wasn't that great, but you know, you can't tell me that Mike Elko is the next Mike Ditka.
And it's just, especially with with his first year versus Hugh Freeze's second year, I just can't see A&M being a better team than Auburn. I think Auburn's got more talent than A&M does. And I just can't believe that.
The talent that Auburn will have, if it stays healthy by the end of the season, Auburn's top 22 will be just as, if not more talented than Texas A&M, and they'll be hosting them in Jordan-Hare.
And I think they're going to have a lot more to play for. I think Auburn's going to have something to play for in that game. I don't know if A&M has something. I'm going to pull their schedule up right now. Texas A&M football schedule. I'm literally Googling it right now as we talk.
I mean, it's interesting. They're going to catch Notre Dame on Labor Day weekend. That's going to be an L.
That's a fun one.
McNeese State, W at Florida.
You think they lose to Notre Dame out of the game?
Yeah, I do. At Florida is a toss-up. Just being at Florida, I know that I've run down Billy Napier and the Gators about as hard as anybody, but still, that's in week three. The Gators still will have a little life left in them. Then they catch Bowling Green versus Arkansas, which is always a fun and interesting game.
Yep, that's that neutral site game that they play in Dallas at Jerry's World.
In Jerry's World, that's always just a wild game.
That game is always insane. There's always some weird bounce that happens in that one.
Missouri, L at Mississippi State. I'll give them that one. LSU, L at South Carolina. That could be a toss-up that late in the season. Versus New Mexico State, who I'll never pick against again ever in my life. At Auburn, L. And then the last game of the year, hosting Texas and man, that'll be interesting. So that's no cakewalk.
See, you have them beating LSU at home. I think LSU can walk in and beat them.
No. Did I say they're going to beat LSU?
I think so.
No, I've got that as an L.
Okay, all right, my bad. I may have misheard you, but I think LSU wins that game. I do. I really do. So I think LSU wins. I think I think Texas beats them. I think Auburn beats them. I think Missouri probably. Well, I don't know. That game is in Aggieland, but there's at least three or four losses on here. And so at that point, A&M doesn't have a ton to play for in terms of an SEC championship or a college football playoff, because with the expanded playoff, which we're going to get to here as we continue on in the FPI, but four losses isn't going to get you in. I can go ahead and tell you that. While I do think teams have been afforded an extra loss because of the expanded playoff, I think if you lose two games, possibly three, if you do it the right way, you could still get in. Four isn't going to get it done. And I don't think A&M has anything to play for by the time they come to Auburn on Saturday, November 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Georgia and you lose barely at Alabama, barely at Texas, but somehow still find your way in Atlanta and, say, lose to Ole Miss in a wild shootout with three losses.
Right.
It would be hard not to fall into, like, that 10, 11, 12 spot in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're catching a Georgia team that's way undervalued in the college football playoff at that seeding.
Exactly.
So I'm with you on that. I think there's a couple of possibilities here. I think you'll see maybe not this year, but in the upcoming years when there's more data, you'll see a 10-loss SEC team for no good reason get left out. And then you'll see a nine-win.
Oh, yeah, you meant 10-win, right?
Two-loss SEC, 10-win. And you'll see a 9-win team get in for no good reason as well.
Based off a resume. I mean, based off of who you beat and who you lost
to. Yeah, or who you know over at ESPN.
I mean, there is that, too. So, Dak says, on those five games, take Auburn to cover in all of them. And also, Auburn's win total being at 7. I don't know if that's a true betting spread yet. I don't know if that's the win total at sportsbooks right now. But according to the FPI that we've been talking about, that's what they have Auburn as. They have Auburn winning 7 games. They have Auburn right now, their FPI, their number. They are on average against the average college football team. ESPN and their numbers are saying Auburn is 10 points better than the average football team right now. They sit at 19th in the country in the power rankings. They are predicted to go 7-5 this season. And if that's the number that you can bet on for entertainment purposes only, yeah, I take the over. I take the over right now. Auburn wins 8 games this year, and I've told you that if they don't, if Auburn does not win 8 games this year, it is a disappointment, and you should be concerned as an Auburn fan.
What if there's, like, some circumstance around not winning 8 that's just horribly beyond our control, like,
I mean,
massive injury?
Yeah, I mean, numerous big injuries and
horrible
things like
arrest
that.
And turmoil in the coaching staff. I mean, and then you should be concerned anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but that should be your concern at that point, is all of those things.
Which I don't think
any
of that's going to happen. This team's been through enough bad karma, if you want to call it that, sports-wise, that I think Auburn's going to have just a solid regular season where they pop off about 8 or 9 wins and they continue to build the foundation, right, of a program that's trying to get back into championship caliber mode. Speaking of building a foundation, I just ran across this. Someone sent it to me from SEC Mike on Twitter.
Oh, goodness.
You're a big X guy.
I know who this is.
So you know who this is. And apparently he has posted Athlon Sports. That's one of the magazines that I'm always get because I'm old school. Athlon's and Lindy's.
Lindy's, yep. That's what I always do.
I guess they're coming out, so I need to go by the local grocery store and pick a couple of them up. Head to the lake and do my research.
I always used to get them in the airports flying back and forth when I was a kid.
So he has a section where Athlon Sports has a section in all of these magazines every year where they have an anonymous coach in the SEC. And we'll get to this. How about after break?
Wow, look at you.
An anonymous coach has some comments on other coaches in the league, and there's an interesting anonymous coach comments on Auburn and Athlon Sports that we'll just have to get to after the break.
Wow, you're learning. I'm so proud of you. That was such a good radio tease.
I guess I can stay around.
I guess so. Well, you'll stay around another month. We got a couple more texts to get to as well. We're testing out the phone lines later in the show, but we do have our texting line, 334-784-1067. That's the On the Line text box. We got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Kevin Tutto, owner of Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Auburn. All of our spring sports seasons are coming to an end, and graduation's right around the corner. There's no better place to celebrate your group party than our patio. Book your next event, let us take the stress out of your big group party, and you come have all the fun. And guess what? I have some exciting news. Live music. This spring at Baumhauer's, we're introducing live tunes straight from our party patio. Come check out how fun our patio is with live music. And be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Baumhauer's Auburn to see all of our music lineups for this spring. Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Auburn, off of exit 57 on I-85. War Eagle.
Since 1997, River City Door has helped take the guesswork out of the garage door process. Maintaining a reputation as the region's premier garage door company, River City Door provides detailed installations with their highly certified technicians. Serving the I-85 corridor, River City Door offers both residential plus commercial garage door installs and repair. Design your door today at rivercitydoor.com or stop by the new showroom at 300 North Dean Road, Suite 4 in Auburn. River City Door, proudly serving West Georgia and East Alabama.
Owned and operated by Auburn alumni Andy Sinton, the Palms Pet Resort at 203 East University Drive near campus is your furry friend's home away from home. Offering boarding, pet daycare, and in-house grooming, your pet will love the Palms' 10,000-square-foot facility, enormous 15,000-square-foot outdoor play space, artificial turf for comfort, play structures, and outdoor covered space. Contact them today at PAWMS.com. The Palms, your furry friend's home away from home.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
I think it is too much of a given that LeBron is the best player of this era without a conversation and then awarding LeBron the best player of this era. I think that we are actually negligent in not including Steph Curry in the conversation. Even if you want to give it to LeBron, no issue with that, but he should be in the conversation.
Unsportsmanlike.
Mornings 5 to 9 on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Hello, everybody. This is Dan Peck from The Drive. Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. Join Bill Cameron and me to get caught up on the biggest news in Auburn athletics and everything going on in the world of sports. We'll talk with the experts and we'll take your calls, too. Coming up on Monday's show, we'll talk with Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. It's The Drive on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Alongside me is your favorite uncle, Uncle T-Bone. And you were talking about something before we went to break. And what, there's some no-name coaches or unnamed coaches out there that are having some choice words about Auburn but not confident enough to put their name behind it, huh?
Well, they do this every year in Athlon's and Lindy's, those two magazines that break down the college football world before the season starts. And I'm always a sucker for them and buy them, even though print's just about what it is, and you get everything online. So where they have a section in the magazines that basically they'll get some type of anonymous SEC coach. They don't say head coach. It could just be some GA. It could be, you know, Will Muschamp over there at Georgia. I don't know who it is, but they always comment about each team. Right. And so this anonymous coach who they pulled in Athlon's this year, his quotes about Auburn was Freeze is going to be the play, meaning caller. He won't hand that off to Derek Nix, but it's Auburn, so they're used to that with Gus Malzahn. I'm already saying this is probably Lane Kiffin. They aren't close to the top end of the league, but they are absolutely better than they were with Brian Harsin's roster at offensive line, receiver, and probably defensive line too.
I mean, what an outrageous statement that is.
Maybe they pick up someone late in the QB portal.
Uh-oh.
Otherwise, expect some improvement from Thorne, but he's not a world beater. They are headed up slowly, which I've been saying for quite some time. It's going to take some time. Brian Harsin has responded. That weirdo who used to be a coach at Auburn for like seven days.
Oh, I saw this.
Responded.
Auburn Twitter jumped all over him this weekend.
At X, at Coach Harsin. I don't know who he's coaching for, but I feel sorry for him.
He put Auburn in his bio that he used to coach here. I can't believe he did it.
Coaches do not make these kind of comments. They focus on their programs and their problems only. Boy, you had a lot of those to focus on at Auburn, didn't you, Coach? Ooh. If a coach wants to make a statement about another program, he will not hide behind anonymous. Oh. He will say it publicly and with authority.
This is a different situation because he had some comments about Dabo Swinney this weekend. That's what Auburn jumped on him. I missed this.
What did he say about Dabo Swinney?
Well, Dabo Swinney did some radio hit where he says, quote, this is from Dabo Swinney, most of the guys in the portal aren't good enough to play for us. And so,
God. Really?
Because, again, he doesn't believe in the portal. And so, for whatever reason, Dabo just believes if you're in the transfer portal, then you suck. You're terrible, you're a horrible player, and you're not good enough to play in Clemson, South Carolina. That's what he believes.
I'm telling you, these type of comments that he makes and this type of belief that he projects all the time eventually is going to catch up with him.
So Brian Harsin quote tweets it and says this. This is over the weekend. Dabo has won two national championships and played in two others. This will be his 16th season as Clemson's head coach. He is one of the most successful college football coaches ever. Okay, nothing crazy there.
Dang, somebody needs a job.
He's respected by all his peers. He's always articulated himself so well, and he is authentic. Listen to those that know.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Coach Harsin.
He's really gotten active on Twitter again, and I don't know why.
Probably because he doesn't have a job.
He had some comments about Billy Napier this weekend, too. I missed those.
Yeah, well, look, the reason why I brought
Billy
that
Napier
up
deserves the benefit of the doubt, by the way.
Not to bash on Brian Harsin, which none of us would ever do on this show, but it does go to show, and I believe it too, that A, Auburn's roster was absolutely master blasted in its worst shape probably in my lifetime, except for maybe when Coach Dye took over, and I'd have to go back and really look at it, when Brian Harsin left Auburn University. It was a complete and total disaster and sham of a college football roster, especially for the likes of a football program like Auburn University.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, like Anonymous Coach says, no question about it, in my opinion as well, Hugh Freeze and this staff are on the right track, but it's just going to take some time.
Sure, and you know what? The quotes in the comments by this anonymous head coach are not all that outlandish, right? They're not all that crazy. And I'm going to go out even farther here. And people may not agree with this, and that's fine. And we want to hear your thoughts on this. You can text us. Again, phone line still getting operated on, but you can text us at the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. I'll take it a step further. And I'm going to agree with what Brian Harsin says. He says, if a coach, you said it already, if a coach wants to make a statement about another program, he will not hide behind anonymous. He will say it publicly and with authority. You know what? I agree. Because he's right, too. He said, coaches don't make these kind of comments. You're right. You have no business as a head coach of an SEC program to be coming out and talking about another team and whether you think they're going to be good or not, whether you think they're going on the right track or not. And the comments aren't even all that crazy, but yet some coach wasn't confident enough to put his name on it.
I think that this is the type, this segment has been in these magazines for years. I mean, for a very long time. I mean, I've got years of these magazines at my house, and I can go through, and they have some anonymous SEC coach, which doesn't mean head coach either. I mean, it could be some special teams coach that's been around the league forever making these comments that they reach out to. I mean, no head coach is ever going to come out and say anything, most likely, to the extent of something like that, and especially naming another coach. But the fact is, these comments aren't off as well either.
Mm-mm.
You know, so, but this is just a segment that these magazines have done for years. It's not like that this just popped up out of the blue. I mean, they'll go through every single school with some anonymous SEC coach's comments, and it's probably the same coach commenting on all of them.
This is weird. It's just, it is what it is. It's funny because again, I know you're not on X and Twitter and all that, but Brian Harsin went off the web for a long time, and understandably so. I mean, he basically locked up everything because he got tired of Auburn fans jumping all over him in his comments. But he's been weirdly active here recently, and you know what? Credit to him, man. It is what it is. But to get to those comments about Auburn and Hugh Freeze, I think they're noticing. I think people are noticing what's happening here. And my comment to that is, how could you not? How could you not notice what's going on here with the recruiting, with the momentum? Yes, I know the end of the season was not what anybody wanted, and people took notice of that too outside of this town, I promise. Sure. But people should be worried about Hugh Freeze and Auburn and what the future holds because of the ever-changing landscape of college football, because of the changing landscape in the SEC, and especially in this state, where you've got a program that dominated the sport for so long that is completely wide open, right? And they are as vulnerable as they've ever been in Alabama. And so much so that we had somebody text us a little bit earlier and have some comments. This is Clay from Montgomery. We appreciate you listening over in the River Region. He says, quote, Alabama having what Roll Tide Willie is what they're calling that guy, right? He says, whatever his name is, says a lot about the difference in this coaching staff versus the former. Nick would not let that. He said he would not let that guy in the stadium, much less giving the team a pep talk at a practice. It's fun, but it's not part of the system. That should concern Bama fans.
So I haven't seen this. This Roll Tide Willie.
You haven't seen this guy?
This guy, this hick. He was invited up to Alabama's practice to give a pep talk to the team before practice.
He's the guy that.
I mean, I know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the quote, I don't give up about nothing but the tide, that type of guy. He burned cigarettes on the bottom of his feet. Like, that guy.
What?
Yeah, you haven't seen that part of it? The bottom of his feet are so callous that he literally will take a cigarette and he'll burn it and he can't feel it.
And now he's like an honorary coach at Alabama?
Basically, they've just allowed him to be a part of the team and they've kind of really, they've leaned into it a lot, which is fine, okay. I guess. But to Clay's point, that type of stuff didn't happen
that
in the
type of
staff.
Distraction.
Yeah.
That type of rat. Poison, that type of selfishness.
I mean, I don't care what fan you are for Alabama. Nick Saban was never letting a fan step in the locker room. Like, I don't care.
He had several motivational speakers up there during the offseason.
Yeah, he'd bring guys in like Kobe Bryant. He wouldn't bring in this guy.
Now it's Roll Tide Willie.
Yeah, a guy off of social media.
Some guy who made his bones on TikTok burning his Marlboro Reds on the bottom of his feet and chanting Roll Tide.
What a world we live in. What a new era.
I mean, tell me the world has not changed in college football.
I'm telling you what. And so with all of that, coaches are noticing. I think programs are noticing. And I do want to look back at the FPI again because they do have Auburn in these power rankings in the top 20. And saying that Auburn is on average better than a football team, an average football team by 10 points. It's just hard for me to imagine that Auburn goes 7-5 this year. But look at some of these numbers, okay? Their percentage of getting six or more wins for Auburn is 83%. So there's an 83% chance that Auburn gets six or more wins this season. I like that. That's fine, right? The percent that Auburn could win the SEC... 0.8. 1% chance that Auburn could win the SEC this year. Also, you're saying there's a chance. The percentage to make the college football playoff. Now, this is where it gets interesting because, again, of the expanded college football playoff.
I know where you're going with this.
Auburn has a 13% chance to make it, 13.5% chance to make the playoff this year.
That's what I've been saying about this college football expansion of playoff. Since they started this conversation a few years ago from taking it to four, I never thought they'd go to 12 right out of the chute. I thought they'd go to six, then perhaps eight. But when they started talking about 10, 12 teams,
they were talking 16.
And probably will get there because of TV. That it will be easier to get into the college football playoffs for several teams like Auburn and Missouri, Kentucky, Texas A&M, maybe even an LSU when they're down right now, as opposed to getting to the SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So which one would you rather be in?
I mean, you'd rather be in the playoff.
It is a Trojan horse for programs that have never really been there consistently to consistently get there. And I think a lot of these heavy hitters in college football that are with the bigger time programs wanted this thing expanded because they thought, hey, we'll always be in it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we won't be like FSU and be undefeated and on the outside looking in. We won't be like Auburn in 2004 and be undefeated and be on the outside looking in. We'll always be in there because we're Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia right now, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they've created a Trojan horse for the teams like Missouri to say it's easier for us to get a national championship now because we don't even have to go through Atlanta.
Yeah, and we've had that conversation where there's going to be a lot of situations where teams don't want to play in Atlanta.
Because maybe every year.
Every year.
Unless you are a 9-3 team that somehow snuck in there and you're going up against an undefeated like Alabama or Georgia and you can rickroll them and say, stake your claim, we should be in the college football playoff. You know what? You'd automatically be in.
Yeah.
Because you're a conference champion.
Yeah. And it gets back to, okay, what if Georgia gets to Atlanta and they say, nah, we're good. We're the number one team in the country.
We're undefeated. We don't need this. We'd rather be, you know what? Yeah. We'll just send the red shirt freshman out there.
Or they'll deny the invitation. They just won't go. They won't play in the SEC championship game. Because then, I mean, why would you?
How dare you, Jacob? I mean, it should be an honor to put on those silver breeches and red helmets and go out there and compete for an SEC championship. Vince Dooley would be rolling over in his grave.
Well, you said it a second ago. What's more important? You want to compete for a natty or you want to win an SEC championship?
There's nothing more important in college athletics in winning and losing than competing for a national championship. Fact.
Bingo. There you go.
Fact. You can win the SEC championship. You can win every game of the season and then get knocked out of the college football playoffs. Is your season a disappointment? Yes. At that point, if you get knocked out early, did you win every battle and lose the war? Yes.
Yeah.
Would you rather win the war or win every battle?
Well, I guess that is up for interpretation, I guess. Auburn is, again, has a 13.5% chance to make it to the college football playoff. They have a 1.2% chance to make it to the national championship game.
Still a better chance to make it to the national championship game than to win the SEC.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now, I think this may be the win to win the regular season, I think. But it doesn't specify. 0.4% chance to win it all.
Okay.
A 0.4% chance for Auburn to win the national championship. That's getting it's getting extreme, and I don't think that's any expectation. But Auburn fans, based off these numbers, should be excited. There's a 13.5% chance you make it to the college football playoff.
I could see that number going up.
I could, too. You start winning some games.
Yeah.
And
that's
as the season goes on.
The first four games are just so important.
I think the first five. I think the first five games are very – those first five home games are crucial to what Auburn wants to do this season. You have to win them.
I'm with you.
You have to win them. Because if you don't, then you're fighting an uphill battle the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, if God forbid you lose to Cal or Arkansas.
Oh, you can put the season, you can put that in the coffin.
A disaster.
If Auburn loses to Cal or Arkansas, put them in the coffin, bury them in the ground season.
Oh, my gosh.
Season's done. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now.
It is crucial to get those first four.
People,
you got to get them. You must not only get them, you got to get them with style.
If our phone lines are fixed by then, which that's a joke, they will be. Could you imagine?
Easy now. They've been working.
I'm kidding. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you there, but the phone lines aren't up yet. So,
it's good practice.
Yeah, we appreciate you bearing with us on that. We do have our on-the-line text box, though. Again, we have a couple of more texts we're going to get to as we wrap up the show. That number is 334-784-1067. That's how you get through to us right now. We should have these phone lines up and moving. We appreciate everybody that's been a part of this. It's been a work in progress, not just for those, but to be on the air here on this Monday afternoon. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, we've had a lot of fun today. We didn't have Jacob Hillman today because we don't have phone lines yet. So pretty hard to have somebody on the phone when you don't have any. So we're getting those again. Those are getting worked on, I promise. I know that's a big part of our show, big part of the community here at ESPN 106.7. Between our guests, between our wonderful listeners and callers for all three shows, of course, Doug out of Montgomery, but our shows here in Auburn, On the Line and The Drive. So our guys are working diligently, so we're going to have those up and running.
Speaking
as
of The Drive coming on after us, Bill just came in and said, no team is allowed to decline an invitation to the SEC championship game in Atlanta, which makes a lot of sense. I don't think that I really don't know if a coach would ever come out ever and say, I'm not playing in this game, wink, wink, nod, nod, and then the second stringers and third stringers are in there. But, you know, I guess an SEC championship still means something to most of these people. How could a coach say, we're not going to go to Atlanta, but we need you to stick around for these bowl games to their players? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess that's a fair way to look at it.
So, but there will be change. I promise you, there will be change coming.
And that's what I'm getting at, is there will be change. There will have to be, because when the Kirby Smarts of the world start opening their mouth and start talking and start to want change, things will happen. The SEC will do whatever it takes to make guys like that happy.
I mean, you're right, but dang, didn't just the greatest of all time rant and rave for 2 years straight about the woes of college football? And the only thing that changed is he'll be sitting in some office like that weirdo in that movie, The Natural, where he's up there overlooking his team in some shady lamp and the curtain's drawn.
Yeah.
He won't be on the sidelines anymore. So you say that, and I think these heavy hitters in college football, their opinions matter to the fans. But the only thing that really matters right now is the opinion to the players, because they're in control.
Well, you know what it's all about, and you know what truly matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, the dollar bill.
The dollar sign.
I think that the day that you start hearing somebody like Kirby Smart gripe and moan and have much gnashing of teeth of what's happening in college football is the next week that he retires. That should probably be a signal, just like it was with Nick Saban, and we should have picked up on it last year when he was just, it seemed like, more concerned about the overall health of college football than his own team. And that should probably be a signal. When coaches start doing that, they got one foot out the door.
And, you know, in terms of if it were a Georgia or Ryan Day at Ohio State or whoever it may be, and those coaches start complaining about having to play in a conference championship, that's a good problem to have. At least your team and program's good enough to be there.
Talk about a first world college football program.
Exactly. Problem. But again, if you go in and start looking at the bigger picture of winning a national championship.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to go and have to deal with that. You don't want to go and worry about traveling to Atlanta or traveling to Indianapolis.
You're wasting money.
Wasting money and wasting time and resources.
You're wasting time and resources. You're putting your players in harm when you know they're going into the college football playoff. What if somebody blows out their knee? I mean, there's always been that concern. It just doesn't mean that much anymore. They've diluted the meaning of winning an SEC championship game by the expansion of the college football. And those stats and those percentages that you gave for Auburn's possibilities are proof positive of that.
I mean, tell me what's so special about winning an SEC football championship now compared to trying to make it to the playoff and win a national championship.
Only if you had to have it. I mean, only if you were a 9-3 Auburn that slipped in there because the rest of the conference beat each other up and you got the nod and you had to have that game to get in the college football playoff. Great. You won an SEC championship. Did you win a national championship?
Right. I mean, Auburn basketball has a few of those. They've got a few SEC championships.
It was awesome. It was a great ride. And the significance of Auburn winning the SEC championship is it got the shaft from the committee and shipped out to Spokane, Washington as a 4 seed, and it was ridiculous.
There you go. We'll end it on that for the Monday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you all being with us. The Drive coming up next. We appreciate it each and every day, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.